Thanks for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Yes, God, thank you. Lord, we just come before you. I ask for you to breathe upon this word this morning. Holy Spirit, have your way in this place. I'm asking for that fresh fire in everyone's heart, that no one would get out the back door. Matter of fact, ushers, get by the back door and hold them in here until everything is done, everything is completed, and it's no more business as usual in our lives with you. But God, that there's a deeper calling on to deep right now in our midst. And I ask, God, that you would transform our hearts, that your word would run swiftly within us. Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come in a powerful way and bring understanding to this word. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You don't have this on the screen back there, so... As I was sitting there, I felt very moved to share this verse with you. If you have your Bibles, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 3. And I think it's one of those things that God's been calling, and he's been knocking, and he's been asking you to hear his voice. He's been asking you to go the distance. He's been asking you to lay everything down. And in 1 Samuel chapter 3, it says, "Now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord before Eli. And word from the Lord was rare in those days." It was rare that people were hearing and things were being said. It was rare in those days. Visions were infrequent. It said, verse 2, "It happened at that time, as Eli was lying down in his place, now his eyesight had begun to grow dim and he could not see well. And the lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was. And the Lord called Samuel, and he said, 'Here I am.' Then he ran to Eli and said, 'Here I am, Eli.'" So Samuel got up, thought it was Eli speaking to him. He said, "Here I am, Eli. For you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." So he went and he laid down again. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." So Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here I am, for you called me." But he answered and said, "I did not call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, nor had the word of the Lord yet been revealed to him. So the Lord called Samuel again for the third time. And he arose and he went to Eli and he said, "Here I am, for you called me." Then Eli discerned that the Lord was calling the boy. And Eli said to Samuel, "Go lie down, and it shall be, if he calls you, that you shall say, 'Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening.'" So Samuel went and he laid down in his place. Verse 10, "Then the Lord came and stood and called as the other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant is listening.' And the Lord said to Samuel," he said, "'Behold, I am about to do a thing in Israel at which both ears of everyone who hears it will be tingle. It will tingle. In that day I will carry out against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from the beginning to the end. For I have told him that I am about to judge his house forever for the iniquity which he knew, because his sons brought a curse on themselves, and he did not rebuke them. Therefore, I have sworn to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever.'" And so Samuel, he lay down until morning. Then he opened up the doors of the house of the Lord. But Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. And then Eli called Samuel, said, "Samuel, my son." He said, "Here I am." He said, "What is the word that he spoke to you?" I feel to start with that verse for you this morning. After we've prayed and we fasted, Because the sense that I have in my own heart and the sense of the people of God throughout this region, throughout this state, throughout this nation, God has been knocking and He's been calling. But it seems like it's been hard to hear. And matter of fact, we've sometimes mistaken His voice. And He keeps knocking and He's calling you and He's calling me. And that's what this fast has been about pressing in and hearing the voice of God. Lord, what are You saying for this house? What are You saying for this region? What are You speaking to Your children? And are they listening? And I have to be completely honest. That just wrecks me. Am I listening? Am I really hearing what He's saying? And with what He's saying, will I be obedient? One of the things God spoke about this service and this time is that He's going to bring some healing to many of you. Because you're going to respond to His calling in a way you've never responded before. He's going to bring some deliverance. He's going to bring some awareness to your heart and the condition of your heart. The Apostle Paul said, "Oh, wicked man that I am, my heart is not where it needs to be." God wants your heart to be completely and absolutely where it needs to be. God wants you young teenagers in this house to know that He wants you to minister before Him. He's calling you to step into your destiny in a way like never before. And the case is this in Samuel, with Samuel and Eli, is because Eli didn't confront his sons and judgment was coming. God has tried to awaken our nation. With 9/11, He tried to awaken our nation. With the financial collapse, He tried to awaken our nation. And according to the Jewish calendar, from 9/11, when it happened, that date, till September, when the collapse happened in our nation, to the Jewish calendar, it was absolutely 7 years to the day, only lacking 2 or 3 hours. God has been trying to get the nation's attention. Our land was never breached up to that point. Never before had our nation been breached, and they got so far into our system. And the men that did it were Assyrians, in the same pattern that happened to Israel during Solomon's time. The same pattern. Every 7 years, something happened where it would bring about an understanding to the people that God's judgment is near. Will you turn to Him with all of your heart? 7 years. And now we're approaching September again, 2015. God is trying to get our attention. He's trying to get us to turn to Him with all of our heart. Because He's a loving God and He will forgive us and He will restore us if we turn to Him. We can trust Him. The Lord, yesterday, I didn't have a message all day. And I said, "God, You have to give something. You have to point me in a direction." Called Deanna and said, "You know, I might just be spending the night in the prayer room." So far, nothing. Nothing. And as soon as I hung up the phone, something started happening. And He started pointing in a direction. And said, "You make sure, whether they get mad or not, you make sure you let them know that God wants you to, He wants to have your attention. And He wants you to be listening. And He does not want you to do business as usual from this day forward. At all, in anything that you do." I'm not saying that you're lacking. I'm not condemning. I'm not saying anything about anybody, except the fact is God wants torchbearers that are wholehearted lovers for Him in this hour, reflecting who He is. Our children are at stake. And so we know that we're living in a crisis. That's why we were doing Psalm 2. Psalm 2 is such a prophetic psalm about the crisis we're living in, so that we would have a Joel 2 response. We would turn to Him through prayer and fasting. Some of you fasted, some of you didn't, and it's okay. But God's calling us all to press in. They say, if you don't encounter God during fasting, all you're doing is starving. I've heard somebody say that. So I want to encounter God in these moments. I want to press in. I want us to fast more and to seek Him more and to keep this going. And I'll share a little bit about that later. We're in a time of crisis. America is in the midst of a great famine. And you know what that famine is? That famine is the Word of God. The Word of God. There is a famine in the land. That the Word of God is not embraced. that the Word of God is not a light onto our path, that the Word of God is not the instruction for everything that we do. I mean everything. We are to find no counsel in the ways of the world. We are to find counsel in God's Word through God's Holy Spirit and from the voice of the Lord in our lives. And being together, that's the counsel we need. We are in that place that it has to be everything. We're seeing an increase in Michiana. We're seeing through Revive Indiana, but all the years that people have prayed for this region. And we're beginning to see some things break. But I'm telling you, it's only the beginning. It is only the beginning. It is. As long as we keep fasting and praying and pressing in and wanting God to receive all the honor and all the glory. It will keep happening. It will keep changing. 1 Samuel, God called him. He's calling you. There was also a time in David's reign that it was in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. There was a tribe, the tribe of Issachar. And the tribe of Issachar in Daniel's day was a people that had understanding. They understood the times that they were living in. And guess what? They knew what to do in the midst of it. God's calling us to understand the times. That's why Dave Raymer was teaching the book of Daniel. That's why we had Corey come in here and teach Revelation. That's why we taught Zechariah. That's why that is a topic of who we are, because we want to understand the time in which we're living so that we can be ready, so that we can be a voice crying out in this region. Prepare the way for the Messiah. Yeshua is coming back to rule and reign. That's who we are. We're to be a voice crying out. Amen. The alarms are going off. I don't know about you, but they're going off in me. Sound the alarm. Let the alarm go off in you today. God is getting your attention. And again, it can't be business as usual. We can't live the way that we've always lived. Things are changing and intensifying. And today can be an awesome day, a day of victory. We need greater revelation to understand the season. And then we need to ask Him this. And this is what I want you to do, either here today, because some of you are already checked out. Some of you have already checked out. Some of you are thinking about all kinds of things right now, because that's the battle that's raging with us as a people. Even when we pray, we're thinking so many things and we're not engaging our heart and our spirit to really hear what God might be saying or want to say to us. You know, prayer is to be joyful, because we're to press through the boredom of it into Him, and it's supposed to be joyful in the midst of prayer. It's not to be a boring thing. We rejoice in prayer and worship. And like I said, the enemy has rocked many of us just to sleep and has distracted us in such a way that we can't even hear His voice anymore. And we become, you know what happens when that happens? We become just like so opinionated of every little thing. And we have to point the finger at something so the finger's not being pointed at us. And God's saying, no more, no more, no more, no more. Engage your heart. Engage your life. Let your children enter into the joy of prayer and the joy of the Lord. That's what He wants for us as a people. So this is the question. This is a question that was asked to me, the only audible voice I ever heard from God. And He said, what do you see? What do you see? And today, what do you see? What do you see in our region? What do you see in our nation? What do you see in your home? What do you see in your home? And then what do you see in your life? What do you see in the church? What do you see? What do you really see? Ask those questions and ask for God to answer. Let Him bring everything into clarity and closure. 21-day fast, this community. God led me last night to two books in the Bible, in the Old Testament. One was Haggai, and one was Zechariah. And so I want to try to just draw us in just for a few moments to these books, and I want to try to get some understanding of who we are. Haggai and Zechariah, they're two books that are very powerful, and they're powerful because it's about a community that sets their lives apart to be priests in the house of God, to minister to Him day and night. They're called to do that. And Haggai speaks to the, because the people of Israel, they came out of captivity, And that was prophesied by Jeremiah. So after 70-something years, they came out of captivity and they came to the homeland again and they started building the house of prayer. But they got so discouraged. And Haggai the prophet began to speak to them. And he says to them, consider your ways. Consider your ways. You go to your paneled homes, your houses, while the house of the Lord lies desolate. Consider your ways. This is Haggai speaking to the people. I believe that same message is to us. Consider your ways. Consider your worship, your prayer, your pressing in to God. Consider your ways. And as we understand that whole story in Zechariah, I'm going to read Zechariah 3 here just in a minute. Anytime a community comes together in the place of worship, anytime a community comes in the place of prayer, anytime a community comes in the place like we did today of praise, anytime that begins to happen in a community, I'm telling you, great, great resistance arises against them. Great resistance to shut them down, to get them weary, to get them to draw back. We shared about this. Even Jua years ago was with a team that was worshiping and doing harp and bowl in the 80s. It was called Harp and Bowl Healing, and they would just sing and worship and pray for the sick. And anytime something like that happens, great resistance comes against it. Remember the Friday night, Michael? Worship, warfare, and prayer. We gather, never mention anything about voice, just get people together, and we would war on Friday night and pray for this region, and we would gather people together and just intercede. Anytime people take that serious and a community begins to come together in that, you're going to have massive resistance from the enemy. Because he knows that through prayer, through worship, and through praise, and the living word going forth, it dismantles his kingdom in a region. And even right now, we see the word of God going out into the streets, the gospel being preached in the streets, in the marketplace. The other day, there were 70-something marketplace owners that was in the mall, and Kyle Martin was speaking to them about the kingdom of God. The enemy knows that if a kingdom culture, frontline kingdom culture, begins to move in a society, he's going to have to move out. And that's the battle that's raging over Michiana. We can get excited about what God's doing, but it's because of prayer. It's because of worship. It's because of praise that things are shifting. And God is asking you, will you change the environment in your home? Will you change the environment of what you do each and every day? Will you create an environment around you, an environment of worship? Will you do that? And some of you are, I know. But he's asking for more. He's asking me more of this. God is establishing something. Zechariah was written to the people who were responding to God to establish the priestly ministry. Because priestly ministry, when it's established, creates breakthrough. It creates breakthrough. When we get in our priestly ministry, ministering before the Lord, it creates breakthrough. And you know what? It's not a fact. It's like, oh, I don't feel like it today. I don't feel like it. No, it's an obedience that you say yes to as a priest in the house of the Lord. Well, I was going to go in there and pray at this time. I just don't feel like it today. It doesn't matter how you feel. It's an obedient thing that we have to say yes to be priests in the house of the Lord. We have to say yes to it and commit to it and walk it out. That's why we've had so much resistance. This is our 12th year, and we haven't stopped with the house of prayer. Our 12th year, which is the number of government in God, because God's government wants to go forth in this region. So God was speaking to me about the building of the house of prayer. Listen, this is a real strong truth. Before the day of Pentecost, what happened? There was an intensity of what? Prayer. Prayer intensified. And what happened? Many people that were with them were no longer with them, right? There was only 120. But the prayer and the worship intensified for what? For a breakthrough. For a breakthrough. And I'm not talking a breakthrough for some man or some woman. I'm talking a breakthrough of God in a region that changes the environment of the region, that he receives all glory and honor. It's not a breakthrough for some ministry or some people. It's a breakthrough for God in the body of Christ all throughout this, because we're one body. That's all he said, we're one. There are no denominations. There shouldn't be any. We are called one body in Christ, and he's the head of it, and he wants that breakthrough to happen. So remember, prayer and worship went to a whole nother level at the day before the day of Pentecost. Now, if you would, turn to Zechariah chapter 3. It will be up on the screen if you don't have it. Yes, God. Resistance and opposition comes against the house of prayer. Now, I want you to look at Zechariah 3 as we begin to read this. And I'm going to go through several verses. And we're just going to talk a little bit about it, and then we're going to pray. This is a vision that Zechariah received. He had 8 visions in one night. This is a vision that he received. And he saw Joshua, not the Joshua of Moses, but Joshua the priest, ministering before the Lord. He saw it in the vision. And look at the resistance. And God was preparing them for what was going to happen when they began to position themselves rightly before God. It says, and here's the vision starts, chapter 3, verse 1. Then he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord. And Satan himself was standing at his right hand to do what? To accuse him. Many of us are not walking in our destiny because of the accusations of the enemy that's caused shame in our lives. And God's saying, get rid of it. No longer, no more. The Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke you, Satan. Indeed, the Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke you. Is this not a brand plucked from the fire? You find that as they're redeemed. You find that also in Amos. Verse 3, now Joshua, the priest, look at it. He was clothed with filthy garments and standing before the angel. He spoke and said to those who were standing before him, saying, remove the filthy garments from him, from Joshua, because he came in filled with sin, everything. Remove the filthy garments from him. Again, he said to him, see, I have taken your iniquity away from you, and you will and will clothe you with festal robes or splendid robes. And then Zechariah jumps in, and he says this. He says, then I said, Zechariah in the dream, let them put a clean turban on his head. So they put a clean turban on his head and clothed him with garments while the angel of the Lord was standing by. And the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua. Look at that. He encouraged him. He admonished him. Thus says the Lord of hosts, here it is. If you will walk in my ways and if you will perform my service, then you will also govern my house and also have charge of my courts. And I will grant you free access among these who are standing here. I don't have time to go into it, but that's powerful. Now listen, Joshua, the high priest, you and your friends who are sitting in front of you, indeed they are men who are a symbol, for behold, I'm going to bring in my servant, the branch. Who's the branch? Jesus. I'm going to bring in my servant, the branch, the foundation of all things. For behold, the stone that I have set before Joshua, on one stone are 7 eyes. Behold, I will engrave an inscription on it, declares the Lord of hosts, and I will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. And right there, that's the power of the cross. That's the power of redemption. And it says, in that day, declares the Lord of hosts, every one of you will invite his neighbor to sit under his vine and under his fig tree. Okay, everyone. You know why? Because everyone will be positioned and everyone will embrace the grace and the mercy from God and salvation. They'll partake of the grace. So, as we read that and we look at that, we see at the beginning of the stance and the opposition about establishing a place of prayer, a place of worship, a place of praise. I'm asking you guys again, as a small community, to consider this house of prayer. Because if you believe in it, then you're going to do a lot of things. You're going to pray in it and you're going to sow into it. It's not going to happen unless we sow into it. And we're praying for young and old to come again. And at this point in the scripture, he received this vision after they had been, I think, about 16 years trying to do the house of prayer and nothing was happening anymore. Because it didn't look the way that they thought it should look according to all that they heard from Solomon in Solomon's house. Are you guys still with me? My observation of this scripture for all of you, for myself included, my observation is there is a different level of warfare in a call to establish a house of prayer. A house of prayer, if you have anything against it, you need to go to the Lord with that. Because a house of prayer, Jesus said, I have a zeal for my Father's house, and it shall be called a house of prayer. It's a place to come, to minister, to be in His presence, for His word to go forth. The enemy's resistance is because he knows that there's a breakthrough if we stand and we pray and we cry out. Prayer, worship, a breakthrough from heaven. And God has called part of this ministry, a big part, He's called us to be a house of prayer. And I'm calling us back to that again. That's one of the things that He highlighted. God's people, all of you were called to be priests, to function in the place of prayer. And again, we do it out of obedience. He's called us to be a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way. Why don't you guys go ahead and stand? Kind of stretch yourself a little bit, and we're going to just have some prayer. This is our opportunity to minister to Him. And for a lack of better terms, I don't know if this is good or not, but we have been called to enter a war zone. We're in a war zone for our families, for the region, for the state, and for the nation. And you know what? When the judgments come, it may be a little late. He's asking now, will you press in? We're in a war zone. There's a proclamation that needs to be made of the living word. He's called us. We dismantle the enemy's strategies through prayer and worship and praise. We dismantle it. And that's what we're called to do. And listen to this. Make sure you're locked in on this one. We just don't sing, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We just don't say, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. We live, I love you, Jesus. We live, I love you, Jesus. And that is the shift that He's saying, we live, I love you, Jesus. I live in that love. I just don't sing it anymore. I just don't say it anymore. I live in that love. That's His calling. So we can walk in the fullness of what He has for us. It's good. The throne of the enemy is coming down little by little in this region because the kingdom of God and His culture is increasing. God wants us to establish a dwelling place here for His glory and for His honor. You know, on Saturday, I don't know how many people came in here on Saturday. We haven't even been open on Saturday except the last three Saturdays, and all kinds of people are showing up. If you feel like you could sit in the front and pray with people, matter of fact, we've got a few of us, some aren't here right now, but they're going to start right along with the training of Revive Indiana, and they're going to start doing evangelism all through the mall and going out and doing everything. They're going to train people, okay? And we're going to start moving forward. The house of prayer, we're going to stay with our 9 o'clock Monday through Friday, Monday through Saturday. We're going to stay with that 9 o'clock in the morning. And we're going to start increasing that same. We're not going to stop fasting. We're not going to stop praying. And we're going to establish those other time periods also. We'll start with 9 to 10 every morning. So if you don't have, if you're not working, come down and just engage your heart and pray. It's a dwelling place. Your primary identity is to be priest in the house of the Lord. Peter said that. God said that. If you want to see a breakthrough and you want to see more, choose to be wholehearted in obedience. Zechariah, they were building a house in the midst of great opposition. We're at 12 years so far. Just finished a 21-day fast. And God is establishing this community, and He's going to increase it. Increase our prayer. Increase. You know, when we increase prayer, we even see an increase in healing. None of this is happening because nobody prayed. This is all happening because people prayed. People prayed. That's why there's change. Amen. Well, I just want to pray right now. I've already told the healing team, prophetic team, pastoral team, if any of you come forward, they just want to pray with you. And this is the call that I'm going to put out to you. Let's just be in a spirit of prayer. Thank you. Father of glory, I just pray for a breakthrough in our hearts right now.
Yes.
What do we see? I just pray for a call of repentance.
Yes.
A call of repentance to fathers, to moms, to children. Right now, God, a call to freedom, a call to deliverance. Lord, you know everything that we're wrestling with. You know our struggles. God, I'm praying for a breakthrough right now. And I sense it. I sense your presence even right now in me. And that today is a day that we no longer do business as usual. Today is a day that we say yes to you. Nobody's trying to get anyone up here. We just say yes. And if God is speaking to you, to say, I'm not just going to sing I love you, Jesus, but I'm going to live I love you every day. And God is shifting things. This is a year of shifting. I just want you to come forward. Holy Spirit, just come and have your way. Bring healing. If there's physical healing, I want you to come forward. If husband and wife need to come forward to be prayed for, just come forward. In Jesus' name. That there would be a breakthrough in healing. Just come. And deliverance. That this would be a day of shifting. That the resistance has been great. We have gotten tired. We have gotten weary. And we've walked away to things of the world that we seem to be more important than you and your house. And to minister to you. We come back to you now. We come back to you right now in this moment, in this prayer time. We come back to you right now. Let this be genuine. You removed all the filthy garments from Joshua. Jesus, everything you did at the cross in this moment right here removes every filthy garment. Right now, you can put a clean turban on everyone's head by renewing their mind with the truth of your love for them. So we're just going to tarry for a moment. If you feel God tugging your heart right now, just come forward. That this is a breakthrough in the Spirit. That you're saying, yes. Yes, I'm coming back. I'm really coming back to the heart of worship and prayer. I'm not going to just sing it. This is it. I'm coming back. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. I'm coming back. I'm truly found in the presence of God and living in his purposes and his word. I'm coming back. Healing. Ask for your presence, God. More dreams and visions that light the way. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Unity. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Have your way, God. Have your way. Have your way. Have your way. I just ask now that you just rain down on them, God, where people are sitting. If you need to just grab who's ever next to you, their hand, and just say a prayer, just do that right now. Take this time to pray. Pray what you feel God's heart is right now for your family and for your life. And encourage one another. Take this time to press in and pray. If my people are called by my name, humble themselves and pray. And seek my face and turn from their wickedness. I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. We are all partakers of the grace of God. Yes. Come. Just pray for one another. Dads for children. Children for dads and moms. Moms for children. Just pray for each other. Yes, Jesus. Yes, God.
Have your way. Lord, have your way. Through. Everything that's not of you breaking this heart of mine, Lord. Break through, breaking this heart of mine. Everything that's not like you, break through. Oh, break through. This heart of mine, oh, breaking this mind of mine, transform my mind, breaking this mind of mine, break through, break through. Come on in. This heart of mine.
Baptize our hearts with fire, God, we ask. Your desire. Baptize our hearts right now with your fire.
Heart.